Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you the decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord your God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. He heard the sound of words. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping the things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his inheritance, as you now are. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan. But you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, who cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this happened, or has anything like it been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war and by mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the deeds the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord your God, beside him there is no other. From heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire, because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations stronger and greater than you, and to bring you into their land to give it to you as your inheritance, as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Then Moses set aside three cities east of the Jordan, to which anyone who had killed a person could flee if he had unintentionally killed his neighbor without malice aforethought. He could flee into one of these cities and save his life. The cities were these: Bezer in the desert plateau for the Reubenites, Ramot in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. This is the law Moses set before the Israelites. These are the stipulations, decrees, and laws Moses gave them when they came out of Egypt and were in the valley near Beit Peor, east of the Jordan, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon and was defeated by Moses and the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. They took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. This land extended from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge to Mount Sion, that is Hermon, and included all of the Arabah east of the Jordan, as far as the Sea of Arabah, below the slopes of Pisgah.
Okay, as I said before, chapter 4 begins to tell you something about the man Moses, his heart, his feelings. It tells you about his actions, what kind of a man he was, what kind of a human being he was, what his character was like, everything. And what we're seeing here, and we're going to go through this more in detail, because I think this fourth chapter is very, very important before I can really break through and get onto the fifth chapter. But it has to break through to knowing what Moses is after. Since he talked to God face to face, God held nothing from him. And we're going to see this. Hopefully we can see it in clearness today. Because the heart of Moses is being spoken here. And when the heart of Moses is being spoken here, you're going to feel the heart of the Creator of heaven and earth. It's not just the man Moses of him by himself. Because there is no way can Moses ever have this kind of feelings and emotions, if I can use those words correctly, unless God talked with him face to face. And this is the reason why it says, and remember, I don't remember what part is in there. It's one of those, Jeff hasn't come across it yet, maybe he has, but in there about Lazarus and the rich man. You remember that story, don't you? And what did Abraham say? There's a chasm between you and me. I can't bring you and you can't, I can't go there. The chasm is death. But the man said, but if someone comes back from the dead and tells him, he said, wait a minute, they have Moses. And sometimes in the Christian world, we have an image of the Moses of what? Parting the sea. We have the pictures of Moses of during the plagues. We have a picture of Moses on the mountain and all the fire and all this, you know, lightning and sounds of trumpets so powerful that you'd scare yourself to death. We have a message or an image, and that's what we kind of picture Moses as. Right? Because that's what we saw. How many movies do you see about Moses? It's around those subject matters. The movie would never make a success.
Right.
If it was done on Book of Deuteronomy. It'd never get anywhere. But I want you to go somewhere with it. I want you to see what God had and why he says and why Moses seems to repeat himself so many times. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's not upset. He just hammers into the mind what God wants. You understand what I'm saying? So we look at Moses, and then what Moses said, I beat it that last week in that he said, now I'm going to, and I read that part, Deuteronomy 18th chapter, beginning in verse 15, after he said, it was God said to him, it was good that people don't hear what I have to say, because I'm going to send somebody else. And him, I want them to hear. Now, when you think of Yahshua, what do you think of? Do you think of him as a great prophet, or you think of him as a person who has authority? Think that he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's the power and might and strength. But what did he call himself?
Son of Man.
Son of Man. Why would he call himself Son of Man for? He's making connection with human beings. He's saying, I am part of you. I am part of your world. I am part of your life. I created you and I'm going to be like you. I want you to know something about me. And that's the bottom line. So we think of the Yahshua or Jesus, you have to think of him more than just a Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's what he's going to be doing. But right now in his life, in your life right now, is he Lord of Lords and King of Kings, or is he somebody closer to you? What did he tell his disciples? He told his disciples, I no longer call you my servants. I call you what?
Friends.
My friends. That's a pretty close relationship, right? And that's the one that God sent. Now, Jesus didn't come along like Moses came along and split any water. Jesus didn't come along in time and throw down 10 plagues. Jesus didn't come along and frighten people half to death. So we go into Moses here, and I want to go, we started with verse what? 9. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Now, he didn't say diligently keep the commandments of God. He said diligently keep yourself. We, as individuals, as individual people, must watch and monitor ourselves. Right? We look at ourselves as diligent to keep yourself, lest you do what? Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you have departed from your heart all the days of your life. He reached into the core of us, didn't he? Now we know where our heart should be. What did Jesus say the heart should be at? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
First thing in our lives, I think everyone in this room, the first thing in their mind is doing just those two things first. When we think of the kingdom of God, we think of what? Power, authority, might, struggle. What do you think of when you think about the kingdom of God?
His righteousness.
Okay. Why is it called a kingdom for?
We are subject to his laws and rule.
And are his laws grievous?
No,
they're not. What does he want us to do?
Be happy. Rejoice.
Well, we're going to get more specifically now, because see, Moses is going to answer that question directly to us, so we understand exactly what it is when we are dwelling within the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? You won't? You listen to me long. Because it's your heart is what matters. And all the days of your life, and teach them to your children, your grandchildren. Okay, we do that and gather yourself together. On down now to verse 12. And the Lord spoke unto you on a mountain in the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. Verse 13. He declared to you his covenant. What is his covenant?
The Ten Commandments.
Now those are righteousness. And we can make out of our mouths flowing forth living waters only when we have our heart and know and knowledge and accept the Ten Commandments. There are sometimes, I know, that there may be a disagreement inside of you. Because I know sometimes it's inside of me. And I will look at it and I say, no, look, son, God, I think this must be wrong. I must have it wrong. Because I'm doing this, and I think this is right, this is good, this is just, this is holy. And along comes word, the word says this. I says, oh great. What am I going to do? I'm going to accept that I know the truth more than you know the truth? No, I have to stop. Oh, I'll give my wife an example. One of the main things that both the Judaism and the Christian world is, souls live forever. We believe in the Christian world, in the Jewish world, that a soul never dies. Because we've been taught that. We believe that. They're thinking, but the Word of God says the soul that sins will die. Who's telling us the truth? We want to believe souls never die. We want to have that, oh, there's always going to be Gehenna, hellfire. The souls will always be alive in death. This doesn't work. And the living Word of God says, the soul that sins dies. That's one of those things that we have when we listen to the Word of God. We have to say, what is it He wants me to do? Now get back to Ten Commandments. The very first one is what?
Thou shalt have no other gods.
I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God. It depends whether you've got the Christian version or the Jewish version.
We want the written version.
Right.
Okay. And so we come into this thing and it says, I have done this for you. The reason why I am the Lord your God is because I did this for you. I didn't do it for me. I didn't do it that I may have glory. glory. I didn't do it that I may be able to have your compassion and your love. I did it because and for you and for your sake. The first action of the Creator of heaven and earth is He did it out of love. That's why He says, I am the one. And we'll get farther on down this line because I hope I get this far today. Which one of the Ten Commandments is not a personal one? And it's a governmental one. Which one of the commandments is not aimed at you, but aimed at a government, aimed at a society, aimed at the leadership, aimed at politicians, aimed at what? The Ten Commandments is not aimed at anything except thou. It's an old English word, by the way. And that's talking directly to you, one on one. He didn't say, ye shall have no other God. Because there's a ye, that means everybody. Right? That's Old English. We miss something really bad. We don't have the word ye, thee, thou, thine in our Bibles because we miss what it means when it's an object of a preposition. We use the word you every single time. And we miss the whole point. So every one of these things, the first thing that in order for having living waters come out of you, you got to do what? Listen to the commandments. And what do you say about them? Backtrack here. I don't want to take this out. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from the heart of all the ways. You know, your heart's going to always be on guard. Why is the heart so critical? Louder, please.
Out of it comes the issues of life.
That's correct. The what you do in your life, everything you do in your life is because within your heart it motivates you to do that. Your brain doesn't. The only reason why you're here today is because your heart motivated you here. The only reason why you want to hear the word of God is because your heart's been motivated this direction, and therefore you're going to respond. Okay? But what does God want in that heart? The what?
Obedience.
A little deeper than that.
The truth.
What's the question?
He wants it written in the heart. So when the commandments of God, the living word of God, is written within your heart, the living word of God will do what? Motivate you. Right? And this is why the second commandment or second testimony is so very, very vital and very, very important. I had a discussion with my wife yesterday or today, I remember. And this word is commonly used amongst the messianic groups. What is it? Are you a believer? Told my wife, I says, there's a difference between I believe in God compared to I believe God. It's a radical difference in that terminology. And so when looking here at Moses, we're going to say, what do I hear? Do I believe? Or do I just believe in? Or do I just believe on? Do I believe? So when you come up and you say to somebody, are you a believer? You should be saying, do you believe God? Do you believe what God says? Now in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to find out as time goes by what it is. By the way, it's past 2 o'clock. Are you supposed to leave?
2:30.
2:30, okay. So we have that prayer well set. Now let's get down to verse 15. This is very interesting how he rewords this particular thing over and over again. Because he knows something. Since God spoke to him face to face, Moses understands humans and their heart. Do you think God left out of teaching Moses when he says, I hide nothing from him? I'll tell him everything. I will keep nothing secret from him. Take heed, be careful of yourself, for you saw no form. Now, why is this expressed again? When the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a graven image in the form of anything. Why is that an issue?
You did it last time.
Well, because it has to do with, I guess, your belief in something. Because then, as in now, people say, you know, I believe in something I can touch and something I can experience, something it's real. You know, you come up to me and you talk to me about the unseen God and there's no form of him. And I say, well, how do you know he exists? Is it your idea? How do we know?
Bill?
I was reading this morning where there was one king. He became king at 8 years old. And they found, it might have been the book of Deuteronomy or it might have been the whole commandments that they read. And after that, he went right for it.
Went right
for
it.
He had everything torn down. They had statues of horses out in front.
That was Josiah.
Yeah.
King Josiah.
They had all kinds of statues, this, that, and the other.
Now, what is the issue here, though?
What is your question?
But why is it so important, and is repeated several times in here, that you saw no form, therefore do not make a form? Why is that so important with God?
You limit.
Okay, there you go. You limit God.
Right.
You stop him from accomplishing thing. And you don't believe me? Take a look at Messiah when he says he couldn't heal somebody. Why?
Because of their...
That's right. You actually can, that says according to Scripture, Paul says, you can actually hinder, stop the Spirit of the moving God. How do you stop the Spirit of the moving God?
Not believing.
Not believing.
Because like when Yeshua went to Nazareth one time, he says that he healed very few people because of their unbelief.
Because
they were limiting him to, oh, he's Mary's son, he's Joseph's son, he's Salome's little brother, older brother, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So they had put him in this box of, you're so-and-so's brother, you're so-and-so's son.
They had images.
Yes.
They had images. And God says, I don't want to have any images. Why is this important with God? Because what did Jesus say to the woman of the well? You are, God is seeking those who do what? Worship him in
spirit
and in truth. And so this is a very powerful thing with God. This book, this particular section of Deuteronomy is very strong over don't make image. We have to make sure that in our spirit we don't form a creator that we like in our form as well. So I said before, you start looking at it, what is written? Do you believe it? If you don't, there's probably a form of God that you have. Okay, I'll talk to you again. I'm not pulling punches here. I said not holding punches back, whatever it is. But you know, in the Christian world, you have heard it said many times, God is love. Okay. Good. My world is solved. God loves me. Now, what have you conjured up? You put into your mind what the definition love is all about. And then you create the loving God the way you want Him to be created, because that's the how you view love. Right?
Yeah.
And Moses says, be careful. Now we're talking physical images here. I'm going into the spiritual image as well here. It's very important that we make sure that we don't conjure up saying, I believe God is this way. We do that quite often. I believe God thinks this way. Or I believe that God wouldn't allow that to happen. I don't believe God would let Johnny die. Right?
We don't know that.
Yeah. Because we created a God that has absolutely limited power, strength of anything. So he says, don't put this in your mind. Now, I'll go even one step further. Sometimes, I know the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. Right? Now, the image in our mind is okay, God is like, since he wants to be called father, he must be like a father. What's a father like? And so we conjugate into our mind what a father should be like. Or maybe what a father is like.
Yeah.
Or
was like.
Or was like. And all of a sudden that also limits you because you're not worshiping him in spirit. You're still worshiping with an image. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And then if your father image was not a good one, right, you project that onto him.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why sometimes when in the Christian world, they have a tendency to look at the Old Testament as the mean old God. Because that's the image that's been conjured up or taught, and they believe it. I'm not saying that they're stupid. I'm just saying they don't know. That's a different thing altogether. He's very strong in this thing. Let's continue on down here. Verse 15, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and which you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, with which the Lord your God has given to all peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. It belongs to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why was the world... And we'll talk about the world here for a moment. Why is the world so bent on the sun, the moon, and the stars?
Because they're powerful in what they've been designated by God to be. But we abuse them by making them conform to what we want them to be. Reading horoscopes and telling the future.
We give them power they don't have.
Yes.
We give them authority they don't have. But they're given to everybody. The whole creation is made for mankind. The heavens and the stars and the moon for all mankind. And that you have a tendency, because people think about the sun. We have his phrase, and we call them sun worshippers. What do they do? They're sunbathing. Well, I'm to be honest, right? By the way, you know, they're also moon worshippers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there's also star worshippers. They are all around about us. How many people do you know personally who live their lives according to the stars? A lot of people live according to the stars. Right?
What sign are you, Richard?
But how many of you growing up, beyond yourself, have said, I was born under this star, that star means I'm this way. And all of a sudden, what does it do to you? It stops you from listening to the creator of heaven and earth. You've created an image. You think God knew what he's talking about? Think Moses knew what he's talking about when he said this?
Or some people, they look at that, and like, let's say, you know, you're a Capricorn, so Capricorn is supposed to be blah, 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 and you look at that, and you're like, that's not me. But then you think, well, maybe I should be. And cause yourself all sorts of grief because you're not.
Yeah.
Or the fact that you were born in a certain year goes to a certain year.
Let me ask somebody, though. You got this all figured out. Let me ask somebody. Before they came into knowledge of the truth, if I use that phrase.
Right.
Did you run your life? Don't have to contest. Did you run your life if the quote, I don't know what Capricorn says, you're supposed to be a certain way. Did you try to live that way? Did you re-perceive yourself that way? Did you think that, yes, I really do think that way. Yes, I really do act that way.
No.
You didn't?
I've had instances.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, sorry, what?
I've had instances. Libra is supposed to be very balanced. I started thinking about how balanced I am.
We're talking past now. We're not talking about what you do now. We're talking about past. You know, you have to admit it to yourself. Okay, I used to really think I really was that way. But the truth is, you were obeying an image that mankind set up, not the creator of heaven and earth. Those signs in the heaven, by the way, if you study them, has everything to do with the Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you really read them. You have to know the names of the Hebrew words, not a sign, but of certain stars that are in there. Then it tells you. But remember, even if you know the names of those certain stars, they are what? The whole heaven is inheritance. The whole world gets to see it. It belongs to them all. All right. Verse 20, huh?
That's the question here. Do we have time for a quick one?
Oh, I have time for a quick one.
Okay. But in going back to verse 17, where it talks about making a form of a winged bird or a fish.
Yes.
Right, well, what are the Christians doing with doves and fishes around their neck? Huh? No, really, on a very literal way, then we shouldn't be even making these.
Well, once again.
What about the Jewish star? I mean, yeah.
Jewish star.
About
same thing.
Those
things are images.
Like the Statue of Liberty.
I mean,
no, but it says right here, don't make it.
Wait, stop. We have to stop and ask ourselves. Wait, slow down. You're going too fast. I can answer your question.
Okay.
But I gotta keep the conflict down, if you don't mind. Does God have symbols?
Yes.
What are the symbols that God uses? And what else?
The shofar.
What else?
Pomegranate.
Pomegranate. Yeah, okay.
Woven into the
right. And we know that on the very tabernacle itself, what was put there?
Cherubim.
So we don't. It's not that the things. He comments about making it and worshiping it, responding to it over God. Okay.
So it has more to do with the purpose than the actual.
That purpose than the actual anything else. Okay.
You're making it the image of your God.
You're making an image of your God rather than this is the, you know. You know, we have when they made the two silver trumpets. Are they images?
No.
No. What are they? Symbols to be used to teach us something about the creator of heaven and earth. Now, as far as symbols are concerned about the fish and the cross and the Star of David, sometimes you have to be careful. Okay? Because the Star of David during the World War II was a curse. Anybody who wore it was dead. So I'm saying, okay, what does that mean? It's really, you know, it's a negative thing on the side. It's also a positive thing on that side. The cross, negative one side, positive on the other side. So, Daniel?
With regards to those symbols, I mean, you think about it. When you run across someone who has a star David on their neck, you by definition will place them in a particular category, won't you?
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. If you see someone who has a cross on their neck, you place them in a different category. Immediately. Whether they are or not, you make a difference.
Yeah.
You're not going to place them.
And sometimes, being honest with you, sometimes if you don't wear them, the only thing they see is what?
You.
They see you. And if you are, no, listen, if you are living waters coming out. That's what they need to focus in, and that's what you need to portray, if I could use this terminology.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That kind of someone answer your question.
Thank you.
Okay. I get to verse 20 here. If I can find it.
Okay.
This is very, I don't know. I'm sorry. I may not be able to get to the where you want me to go today. But I'll focus it in verse 20. I like tearing apart, if I can use the terminology, of separating the Word of God. You know, I've got this engineering background. Some people consider it a curse. I'm one of those people that re-engineer it. If it doesn't fit, I did it wrong, you know. It should all fit back together again, just like it was supposed to, you know. That's what I do. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out from the, or out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be what?
His
people. His people. There is no other being, whether it's satanic or otherwise, that has ever drawn into themselves a group of people for them. Do you think the devil brings them in because he loves you? The devil only has one goal. He wants to destroy you. There is no other God that has ever existed that ever will exist. All the other Elohims have not that desire, that heart, that want, that, would I use this word, covetousness? All right? That desire to love you. They don't. Which Elohim do you think? I'm using principalities of the air now. Which principality of the air do you think really loves you? That he would send his only begotten son that you may live. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So here we see the heart of God. And he says he wants to be his people. And do you want to be God's people?
Yeah.
Oh, we always like to be God's people. Why? Oh, we get this wonderful thing called what? Starts a big B now. Blessings, you know. Well, you know, that's not what God wants you to do. Let me ask you a question. Was the 40 years in the wilderness a blessing?
No.
All right. Why were you there? Oh, you. Why were they there for 40 years? For a cursing?
To
bring them in to be his people. He wants them to love him as much as he loves them. You know, Daniel gone through this thing about the two mountains, the book of Joshua. Hope you remember if you're there. One of them was lush, green, fantastic. And God says, I'm not there. I'm over here, zone over here. What's out there? Nothing. This rock is barren. Nothing's there. Because you know why? You can't create an image. There's no life there. The only way you're going to have any kind of image is by Spirit of God showing you what he is like. And then it's not a mystery when John the Baptist says he makes stones, the sons of Abraham. He makes something that has absolutely no life and become his people. And so in a sense, the 40 years in wilderness was taking all them stones, turning them into living things. And what does Apostle Peter calls us? We are what? Yes, living stones. Okay, now is stone a bad thing or a good thing?
Neither.
Depends.
It's just a stone. So what's your image of God today? We may look at possible leadership of our country. I think I told this to Kerry. I'm not quite sure. Sometimes there's people on the ballot to vote for. I tell you, if they're all against God, my vote is no vote.
What?
My vote is no vote. I can't do it. Myself, internally. Well, that's just me. All right. Are we good for questions at this point in time? Yes, Bill.
I didn't understand that last part.
The last part?
Yeah.
You have two people or three people or 10 people running for office.
Right.
And not a one of them believe that there is a God or care about God or care less about God. And they actually just take his name in vain or care less. They do all sorts of evil things. They have, you know, sexual relationships, or they lie here, they cheat here, they rob there. Would you vote for them?
No.
No. You can't.
So your vote is no vote.
My vote is no vote. I sometimes vote on issues. If the issue is a good one, I say okay. If the issue is a bad one, I say no. I'll do that part. No. Because sometimes those words that are on those laws are not that good. You have to be careful what you're reading. But that's just another subject matter altogether. It just has no bearing on it. But I just want to bring that in because it's important that that God brought us forth, or brought them forth. He's bringing you forth to be his people, not just for you to be an obedient little girl or obedient little boy. Why did he want you? He wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. And the very first thing he did was what? I brought you out of a fiery furnace because I want you to be part of my life. And that's what Moses is talking about. These are not just words that God says, well, you know, I don't have anybody else that cares about me. I had to make you people care about me. Yes.
The more and more you speak, and more I read, and more I study, the more and more I realize how evil it was before the light came and before God chose us to be his light on this earth.
When you're walking in light, there is no relationship to darkness anymore. It's really difficult. I mean, it's really difficult to walk back in to where you once were. So when you think of our country, you think of our country and our leadership and the leadership around the world, and from, you know, the UK to Australia to the United States, Canada, all the ones that have basically been a Christian country, what's the flaw? I'll be honest with you. I brought you out to be my people. And you have not heard, nor have you believed me. The very first commandment, which he's hammering in on here, is the primary number one. And if that can be inside of you, and most of you in this room have absolutely no question about that. You know exactly what's going on. You know that there is no other. You're not going to allow you to think about anything else. So in a sense, spiritually speaking, that's just written where? In your heart. The only reason why you are doing that commandment is because it's written. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. You'd be rebelling against it. A mean old God, all he cares about is himself. But that's not what he said. I brought you out. Brought you out of the house of bondage. I want to give you freedom. I want to give you hope. I want to give you joy. And some of you people said this, right? Joy, happiness, peace of mind. It all begins. This fourth chapter, we haven't even finished it yet, about images. Now, have you ever looked at the fourth chapter that way before? Have you ever noticed that it's so hammering in on that issue? Why is it so important that Moses had to repeat it several times, clarify it several times? Because, see, he talked face to face with the Eternal. And this is what the Eternal said. They're going to create images of me. They'll try it in any way, fashion, form they can. What we saw them do was make one that was physical. People, I want to move us into the world of spirit. Do we make one spiritually in our image that is contrary to what the living God is? And I know a lot of you came from a Christian world. And that Christian world's got an image. Jesus loved me. This I know. Why? The Bible told me so. And what's your image of Jesus? People put forth an image of Jesus is not there. So when we look at this commandment, what verse were we in? 20. Okay, it's 6:30. What time am I supposed to quit?
2:30.
2:30? Okay. It's time to quit. I'm hammering in on this chapter. This chapter is very, very important. And I just want to know that this is why I'm prolonging on this particular chapter, is because there is a core of the heart that's going to reach into what it's all about. All right? Then you'll say, now I know God wants me to love Him with all His heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, because He did it first. Do you think God does not love you with all His mind, with all His soul, with all His spirit, with all His strength? I tell you, He gave His only begotten Son up. Talk about an action of power, of mercy. Not just mercy for you, but incredible. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, which every Christian knows that by heart. But do they know the heart of God? When we read Deuteronomy, we're going to study in and seek in on the heart of the matter. And you'll see God acted first. In their lives and in our lives.
He has to love us that much. He has to. If He didn't, it would all be a travesty. It would just be a joke. Why? We're here for a reason.
Yeah, we're here for a reason. Okay.